Education Committee to order. It's 8:05 in the morning. Present are Senators Huggins, Gary Stevens, and myself, Kim Elton. Two orders of business today. The first is a presentation by the sponsor of Senate Bill 33, post-secondary scholarships. And then at 8:30, we'll have a presentation from the Conference of Young Alaskans. We'll note for the record that one of the committee members, Senator Stevens, is an invited speaker to the School Board Association at 8:30. So he will be leaving and doing some outreach beyond the walls of the building here to school board folks. I'd also like to note that we are going to be trying to schedule as soon as possible an overview that will allow us to have some discussions with perhaps people from the Attorney General's office and others about the recent Moore v. State decision, where the judge gave everybody about 60 days to make some fairly significant changes. With that, is there somebody from Senator Ellis's office that will be presenting the bill?
Yes.
Please identify yourself for the record and proceed.
My name is Nick Moe. I'm working for Senator Johnny Ellis.
Thank you. Go ahead, Nick.
Okay. And I would like to thank you, Senator Elton, for taking the time to hear this important legislation. And I'd also like to apologize on behalf of Senator Ellis for not making it. He is currently in transit right now, and so hopefully he can make it in shortly. But Senator Ellis is sponsoring Senate Bill 33, or how we like to call it, the Alaskan Achievers Incentive Program, because an educated and prepared workforce is critical to the success of Alaska's future. Post-secondary institutions in Alaska provide hundreds of programs at campuses across the state with degrees and certificates geared to meet the current needs of Alaska, such as petroleum technicians, nurses, engineers, and more. However, affordability of these institutions is a growing concern among students and families. If a child thinks college is unaffordable for their child, there is little incentive or expectation for success in high school, and the student is much more likely to drop out. And I think we all know that Alaska has one of the highest dropout rates in the country. The Alaskan Achievers Incentive Program creates a scholarship fund for those students who achieve a B average or better in the school at which they are enrolled and demonstrate unmet financial need through filing for FAFSA, and FAFSA being the free application for federal student aid. The scholarship award cannot be less than $1,000 and no more than $20,000, or for more than 5 years at all. If the fund is too small to award all applicants, priority will be given to those who demonstrate the most unmet financial need. The fund will be managed by the Commissioner of Revenue and administered through the Alaska Commission of Post-Secondary Education. The Commissioner of Revenue will identify 5% of the fund available for the scholarships every year. I know many of the present committee members heard from the Taylor Plan a few weeks ago, and I'm happy to say they're in full support of this bill. The Anchorage Assembly also passed a resolution supporting this bill, and the coalition of student leaders helped draft the original language. So I think there's a broad base of support across the state in every district. More than 30 states have adopted similar measures, and Senator Ellis believes now is the right time to reduce college and high school dropout rates. Stimulate Alaska's economy by building our own workforce and create this scholarship fund. We'll now briefly go over the bill. In Section 1 is our objectives and purpose of the program, lines 4 through 14. Section 2 establishes the fund. That's on page 2. Lines 1 through 8 provide that the commission will administer the program, the commission being the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education. Lines 9 through 13 establishes the minimum award that I mentioned, the $1,000 minimum and $20,000 maximum over 5 years. And lines 14 through 17 give the priority for the students with the most unmet financial need. on page 2 as well, lines 19 through 31. It establishes the requirements for eligibility. And so a student must be an Alaskan resident. And this is on page 13, line 1, or page 3, I'm sorry, line 1. The student must be an Alaskan resident, must submit an application, demonstrate a financial need of not less than $4,000, as well as be accepted into a degree or certificate program at a qualifying institution. Page 3, lines 4 through 9, establishes the fund as an endowment, consisting of appropriations, donations, and earned income. Page 3, lines 10 through 17, provide the fund to be managed by the revenue, the Commissioner of Revenue, excuse me. Lines 18 through 22 provides for appropriation of available funds. Also, section 2 continued page 3. As I mentioned, the Alaska Commission on Post-Secondary Education is an administrative agency. And bill section 3 is the fund and transition language, and that provides for the transitional period during which it would not be possible to calculate a multi-year average balance on the newly created fund. And this is because the fund was going to be averaged out on a three-year average, and then that 5% would be taken off that average. And I think it would also be worth mentioning, I think, in the bill packet that you have, that we have a report card on post-secondary education in Alaska, and it rated Alaska receiving an F in both affordability and participation. And I think not only that statistic is alarming, but there's also a statistic on benefits, possible benefits for Alaska. And it says here that the annual personal income in the state would be about $2 billion higher if more students were educated and as educated as some of their peers. I'd just like to thank the commission again for taking the time to hear this important legislation, and I urge your support and passage of the Alaskan Achievers Incentive Program, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Nick. I'd note for the record that Diane Behrens is here also, and she is the person who prepared the fiscal note that's attached to the bill. Senator Huggins.
Yep, thank you. Nick, in looking at this,
Can I interrupt for just a moment,
yeah.
Senator Huggins, and note for the record that Senator Davis has joined the committee. Thank you, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. Nick, in the business of recruiting educators, have you thought about a provision in this bill to do that? There's a loan forgiveness provision, right, in post-secondary? I think, no?
No. Through the chair, Senator Huggins, there is currently not a loan provision in here. You're speaking of recruiting educators for
right.
There. Yeah, there currently isn't a provision. I don't know if we've given much thought to
yeah.
that, but that would
yeah, I mean, it might. I would just encourage you to at least give some thought to that. How we can get some dividends in our schools for the educators.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. And Nick, I'd note for the record that it's not normally the practice of a committee to move the bill on the first hearing, so
yeah.
You will have a little bit of time to give some thought to it. Further questions of the bill sponsor? Seeing none, I'm kind of looking into the audience. Diane, are you here to listen, or did you have a presentation? Okay, thank you. Did anybody have any questions for post-secondary education? Senator Stevens. Diane?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How we fund this, Diane, I know this is an issue you deal with all the time, but and it's a great idea and necessary, I think, but how do we go about making sure that we can pay for that?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, there isn't a ready source of funds that we could point to as an earmark. In discussing the bill with Senator Ellis's aide, Nick. They were speculating that there may be money in the federal economic stimulus bills that could be used to capitalize the program. Right now, the language, well, first of all, no bill has passed, but the language in the bill is rather vague. It did reference funds for higher education, but at this point, it's not clear to what purposes those funds could be put.
I guess a follow-up question then. How stable are things, through the chair, how stable are things with your program and being in repayments and that sort of thing?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, looking at the last few years, our repayment performance of our loans have been improved over the prior years. However, we do have, when you season our default rates, you do see them rise to something in excess of 10% after 4 to 5 years in repayment. So although the program has been operating in a sound manner, the issues that really pose challenges currently are really the condition of the capital markets. So the program itself is sound. However, we are facing some pretty serious challenges with rising cost of funds in the capital market.
And a follow-up, Chairman, could you sort of help us through, and first I say that Mr. Ernst has done a wonderful job of straightening out a program that really was in serious financial problems, and you've really done that. It's really remarkable. But could you give us a little idea of what you expect because of the economic condition of the country? Do you have investment funds you expect a return from? Do you expect to see greater delinquency in payment of student loans?
Through the chair, Senator Stevens, what we're currently considering within the organization is what steps we could take to provide alternative deferments, forbearances. We do expect to see our borrowers suffering the impacts of the economic downturn. It would be reasonable to presume that there are people who were otherwise showing good faith effort to repay their debt who are now in a position to be cash poor, if you will. So we're looking at ways to prevent delinquencies from rising. However, I think to some extent it is inevitable that we'll see delinquency rising. With respect to other changes, we expect to see, at this point, we have not been able to issue bonds in the market for over a year. We last successfully issued bonds in 2007. The type of bonds that we issued between 2002 and 2007, the market for those bonds disappeared in the wake of the subprime mortgage fallout. So we're currently working on strategies to go back into the market and be able to successfully issue bonds at a low cost. The other thing that we're experiencing with the non-federally guaranteed student loans, there is an expectation that we will look at our credit criteria in those. In fact, there's another bill that's been introduced in the other House that will allow us to take another look at our credit standards and make sure that the loans that we're issuing are actually usable as collateral for bonds going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks. And I'd note for the committee, too, that that Diane has touched on some issues that are fairly significant, and we're looking forward to, at some point in the fairly near future, getting into kind of the nuts and bolts of she used the term cash poor, which is very good because I can think of other ways of putting it, but I think that there are some challenges that the commission also has when it comes to being cash poor and running the program. So thank you, Diane, and we'll make sure that we get you back. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Diane, you said since 07 that you haven't been able to sell any bonds. What's roughly the amount of the bonding you're looking at?
Through the chair, Senator Huggins, we would hope to bond for about $100 million in the next successful issue. Our loan volume has increased substantially on the federally guaranteed loan side. We saw over a 50% increase in loan volume. in the federal loan program. That's attributable to not really a change in the number of students going to college and borrowing from us so much as it is other lenders leaving the program because of the economics of continuing to be a lender in the program.
Yeah, thank you. And follow up.
Senator Huggins.
Yep, thank you. And Diana, my memory's a little foggy, but once upon a time we had a loan forgiveness program for educators that went to Bush or went to a rural school. Could you just refresh my memory on that?
Certainly. Through the chair, Senator Huggins, the teacher education loan program still exists. It's a very small program. The way it's set up, in order to be eligible, a person must have graduated from high school in Alaska. They must be nominated to participate in the program by one of the rural school districts. There is a specific definition in the program statutes to define rural. Then after borrowing the loans, which are 100% forgivable, they have to teach in one of the qualifying schools. That program, for a variety of reasons, I think, probably wouldn't be viewed as particularly successful. Fewer than one in five of the program participants actually complete their degree in teaching and teach in an eligible school. So most of them end up repaying their loans in full.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not to for the committee today, but any information you have on what's contributing to the failure rate of that, I would appreciate it. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, thank you, Diane. I'd note for the record that another fiscal note has been handed out from the Department of Revenue that includes $25,000 in contractual. Deputy Commissioner Burnett is here if anybody has any questions, but I guess we could also, since this is the first hearing, we could also peruse the fiscal note that was just handed out and maybe ask somebody from Revenue to show up at the next hearing on the bill. I have three folks who have, I have maybe four folks who have signed up to testify by teleconference. And I'd note for the record, we have about 10 minutes to go. So I guess that admonition was not for committee members, but for people who are testifying. And we'll begin with Secha Oba. University of Alaska. Secha, did I pronounce your name right?
Thank you, Senator. My name is Secha Oba. I'm the Associate Vice President for Students at the University System. And the university supports this bill. We've worked with the Coalition of Student Leaders this year and last year. President Hamilton has sent a letter to Representative Guerra supporting this bill and all need-based financial aid that the state can help students with. I will end my comments there unless there are questions of the university.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Is Carl Wing online?
Carl Wing is here.
Okay. Carl, could you give your name and your affiliation for the record and give your testimony?
Of course. My name is Carl Wing. That's K-A-R-L-W-I-N-G. I am currently the student body president from UAA and also the Anchorage representative for the Coalition of Student Leaders.
Thanks. Go ahead, Carl.
Okay, well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak, and also thank you for just taking the time to look over this bill. My personal thoughts on this bill is that students have been pretty passionate about finding more alternatives to pretty much stay in Alaska, and this bill that we have approached to a lot of people says, have told me personally that this is going to be one of the methods to keep Alaska's best students in this state. And just recently in Anchorage, we approached the municipality, and they formulated a resolution endorsing Senate Bill 33 as well as House Bill 94, and there's also just a minor statewide endorsement for this because students have believe in this resolution, this legislation, and we would continue to ask for your support for it because just to keep my moments short, but we would really appreciate if this would be supported.
Thank you very much, Carl. Questions? Mm-hmm. Seeing none. Thanks, Carl. We'll now go to Ryan Buchholz in Anchorage. Ryan, are you online?
Yes, I am. Should I go or should I spell my name?
Yeah, no, I think we know you, Ryan, and we've got your name spelled right. Go ahead and identify yourself for the record with your affiliation and give your remarks.
Okay. I am a student senator at or with the Union of Students at UAA alongside Carl. More importantly, though, when it comes to this piece of legislation, I consider myself one of the many students who has to work full-time in order to pay for college. Many of us are forced, again, to work full-time or part-time pretty close to the full-time break in order to pay for our rising cost of tuition, book prices, cost of housing, and food. One of the problems with this is it reduces the amount of time we're able to focus on our classes and our studies, which, of course, results in lower grades that or complete lack of sleep and prolonging the time it takes for us to get our degree. By all rights, I personally should have graduated last year if I was able to devote all my time to my classes, but right now I'm looking at another 2 years. And this is a story that I've heard from countless other of my peers at UAA. And, you know, as just to echo Carl, one of the great things about this piece of legislation is it not only allows those who want to go to college and have the ability but just not the money to have that opportunity, but it also keeps them here in Alaska to help solve our brain drain and get more degree-holding people within the workforce faster. And most studies show that someone with a four-year degree earns an extra $1 million in income over the course of their life. If you multiply that by even just 1,000 students, that's a pretty big chunk of activity in the economy. And I'll just end my remarks there because I'm getting low on time.
Thank you, Ryan. Seeing no questions, is Dana Thomas online? Dana Thomas?
Hi, yes, thank you. I'm here to support this bill
Dana?
On behalf of the students that
drafted. Dana, can I interrupt for just a second? Could you give your name and your affiliation for the record?
Sure. My name is Dana Thomas. I'm a professor of statistics and assistant provost at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Again, I'm very proud to support the students that helped draft the original version of this bill. And I want to point out something that I believe is in President Hamilton's letter, and that is that Alaska has the lowest college participation rate among low-income families in the nation. We are actually number 51 out of 51 when the District of Columbia is included. It's clear that low-income families appear to be generally spending their permanent fund on the basic needs of the family and not saving for their college, their children's college education. I would ask everyone on the committee there to think what they would do for their family if they earned less than $20,000 a year. Where would that money go? In addition, I want to offer some information that the University of Alaska Fairbanks collects independently. We conduct the National Survey of Student Engagement. And you just heard from a student from UAA that said that they were working nearly full time. Our National Survey of Student Engagement here at UAF indicates a much higher percentage of students working than other institutions nationwide. And it's well known nationally that students who work more than 20 hours per week have a significantly lower graduation rate. UAF freshman retention at UAF is comparable to some of the best liberal arts schools in the nation, about 75%, sometimes a little higher than that. But our graduation rates are low compared to other schools. A detailed study by UAF's institutional research shows that students drop out when they have accumulated about $10,000 in debt. So clearly, cost is an issue for our students, and this need-based support that's largely based also on merit is the right direction to go. So I strongly support this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Dana. Dana, there is one question. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Dana, Charlie Huggins from Wasilla. Are you familiar with the new GI Bill?
I am. It's a wonderful new addition.
It is. If in your leisure, if you could use your statistics background to compute what you project to be the number of students who can benefit from a transfer of the benefits of the new GI Bill, I would appreciate it.
I'll look into it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dana. One more person has registered to testify. Stephanie Ashley. Is Stephanie Ashley online or here in the audience?
Hello. I can barely hear what's going on, but I think you said this is Ashley. I'm the student body president here in the Juneau campus in University of Alaska Southeast. Also sit on the coalition as the Juneau representative. I'm just calling in support of House Bill 33 as well. As a student, I know I've racked up. I'll be graduating this year with $54,000 in loan debt. And something like this, if it was available to me as a student making my way through my degree, would definitely have taken advantage of it. And, I'm one of those students where I'm just above the mark where I don't get a Pell Grant, so I don't qualify for any federal grants. And something like this, being a student of merit, making above a 3.0, and being in great financial need, this would have been something I personally would have loved to have taken opportunity for that is not available in this state at all. And I've just been hearing, this outcry from students that drop out because they just can't afford it. It's so much money, and they have to work full-time to support themselves through college, just as I do. And I just wanted to end with my support for this bill as well.
Thank you, Stephanie. Stephanie, you broke up a little bit, so I'm just going to repeat for the record. When you identified yourself, it was a little bit broken up. So for the record, that was Stephanie Ashley, the student body president at UAS.
You broke up on me again. I can't hear you.
Okay. Stephanie, I don't know where the problem is, but I think we're breaking up together here. Thank you for your testimony.
All right. Thanks.
Is there anybody else online or in the audience that is prepared to testify on the bill? Hearing none, seeing none, we will close this portion of the committee meeting and move to the next portion, and we're doing it right on time. It's 8:30, the next on the agenda is an overview from the Conference of Young Alaskans. I think everybody will have noted a lot of people filed into the room here about 15 minutes ago, and I'm not sure who is going to be doing the overview on behalf of the conference. Is there somebody prepared to speak? If you could identify yourself for the record.
Yep. Chair Elton. Senators, thank you for having us here today. My name is Ian Michael Abair from Fairbanks. I am not going to be explaining the process to you. I'm going to allow the delegates to do that. I helped with the first Conference of Young Alaskans 3 years ago as the chair. This year I was working with Information Insights as the coordinator, but I wanted to thank you for listening to the delegates today. And I just wanted to express how important I think this process was. Nobody here today is asking for money. All they're doing is explaining what their experience was, what some of their action items are that they developed. But the basic process was that 55 young people from across the state got together, created visions, goals, and action items for the state, and represented 26 communities and created these incredible connections that will serve them and will serve the state of Alaska in the future. So I just wanted to kind of give you that context and to tell you personally how much this type of process means to me. Growing up as a young Alaskan, I have seen young people get lost to suicide or drugs or alcohol, people drop out of high school, drop out of college, and I do think that this is a vulnerable demographic in our state because of our geography, because of just a number of issues like folks were talking about in the last House bill advocacy discussion. So basically, that was my message. David Nikolai is going to be kind of emceeing and allowing each of the delegates or some of the delegates to give a couple minutes of their reflections. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Abair. Before you leave, Mr. Abair, people on watching gavel to gavel may have seen that there was a report from the conference that was handed out. Is there a website where folks, Alaskans, can go to get a copy of this?
The report should be at www.youngalaskans.org. And I guess I wanted to mention one other thing. 53 years ago in Fairbanks, 55 people got together and created our state's constitution. One of the really poignant lines from a resolution at that constitution was, you are Alaska's children, take tomorrow and dream. And so that's what this conference and that's what this report is. This is the dreams of young Alaskans, and all we're asking is that you consider those dreams.
Okay, once again, the website for a copy of the...
www.youngalaskans.org.
Okay, thank you.
Or you could contact me directly, Ian Abair in Fairbanks, you should be able to let me know.
Okay, thank you. Can you identify yourself for the record? And you're the moderator, so I will just suggest that we have about 25 minutes until several of us have to go to a couple of us have to go to the next committee meeting. So, with that, identify yourself for the record and begin the presentation.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. My name is David Nicolai. I'm from Anchorage. I work for CH2M Hill as an engineer. I am 24 years old. We were all delegates to the second conference of young Alaskans, which was held in Girdwood about a month ago here. And we were 53 delegates representing 26 communities, ages 16 to 25. And we all came from various different backgrounds. In the report near the end, there's sort of a little survey on the demographics. You can see that there's various ages. You can see the outline of the ages of the delegates who are there. You can see that our demographic or ethnic representation is fairly representative of Alaska as well. We are speaking as individuals here, but we're also part of this group as delegates at the Conference of Young Alaskans. So we all had various different opinions, and we all don't necessarily agree with each and every single item in the report, but we all support the process. We all support this effort of bringing the voice of young Alaskans to Alaska, to everyone that's listening. I think first I'd like to introduce my friends Josh and Amy, who talk a little bit about one of the topics in the report.
Josh and Amy, as you approach and begin your testimony, if you could just repeat your names for the record, that would be helpful.
Thank you, Senator Elton. My name is Josh Vandegriff. I'm a resident of Anchorage, Alaska, and I had the pleasure of working our Education and Leadership Committee. Some of the things that we discussed in the committee is we tried to think, where are we going to take Alaska in the next 50 years as far as education? Our state has such vast natural resources, but we need the human capital in the form of skilled workers in order to take it to a global standardized level of excellence. We recognize the fact that the scope of that has to include mentors, educators, parents, and students. The foundation of that starts not at kindergarten, but in preschool. We thought one thing we really should look at is trying to fund a statewide pre-K program. Another thing we thought about is trying to keep our skilled talent in Alaska by providing affordable education both in college and vocational schools that match the needs of Alaska's workforce. I'm going to go ahead and let Amy talk now about some of the items she discussed.
Thank you, Josh.
Hi, my name is Amy Voss, and I'm a student at UAA. We also discussed the importance of foreign languages in schools and establishing and expanding on the immersion programs that are available now from kindergarten through 12th grade. We believe that this is the best time for children to start learning a language so that they become motivated to keep that up through their life and not just learn it in high school for maybe a year or two to get through the requirements. And we believe that languages are the way to be competitive in the world and be able to be in contact with many other nations globally. Thank you.
Thanks. Questions for Josh and Amy while we have them at the microphone? Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Amy and Josh. On education and leadership, number one, could we just see the number of young men and women here that went to either boys or girls state when you were in high school? One? Boys or girls state? One? Okay. Any thoughts on how we get people to go to boys and girls state? Since that's okay. Number two, you mentioned dropouts and or non-graduates from high school. Any thoughts on how to address that? Yes.
Yes, through the chair. We thought long and hard about that. And the interesting thing is that our committee was made up of not just students from one demographic, but it was made up from rural Alaska and urban Alaska. So we got the perspectives of many Alaskans. And the one thing I think to point out with dropout rate is we need to instill a sense of hope in our students, a sense of opportunity. Not all students want to go to college. We need to provide vocational opportunities that will be able to enable them to be a successful worker, maybe in a trade or like plumbing or construction. There's a lot of opportunities in Alaska. The other thing, we want to create a safe environment for schools. There's a lot of talk about strengthening the anti-bullying programs.
Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Seeing no further questions, I suspect there are others that are going to be coming up.
Yes, at this point, I really thank you all for your time, and we're going to have our Natural Resources Committee come and talk.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. My name is Kaylee Allen. I'm from Juneau as a delegate to the 2009 Conference of Young Alaskans. One of the most important things that I think a lot of us took away from the conference was an atmosphere of nonpartisan cooperation. We weren't Republicans or Democrats or liberals or conservatives. We were simply young Alaskans, and we were coming up with a common vision for the state. And I think that was really important for all of the issues that we talked about. But for me, it was especially applicable to natural resources. I think it's often portrayed as a black and white issue. You're either pro-development or you're pro-conservation. And so I think that we really emphasize the importance of finding a compromise between the two and the importance of developing our resources, but doing it in a sustainable way that plans for the availability of those resources, you know, for future generations.
Good morning, Chairman Elton and Senators. My name is Andrea Sanders, and I am from Bethel. And just briefly, another few important points from this group was that when making decisions about how to, you know, have a sustainable state, sustainable economy and development, is incorporating traditional knowledge when working towards those goals. Our discussions also emphasize the importance of that circumpolar issues will have in the future. We feel that it's not really discussed at this time, but in terms of, you know, fishery management and a lot of the reports that are coming out about you know, issues that are affecting the Arctic, we feel that Alaska in particular needs to take more of a leadership role on this global issue. And finally, I would just like to stress two important points. You know, we are here in Juneau, most for the first time, to share our visions with you. But more importantly, we're here to help you in building our state's foundation for the future. You know, there's a large task ahead of us, and we just want to make sure that the youth, those of us who are going to be inheriting, you know, leadership roles, you know, years from now, we would like to just make sure that, you know, many of our ideas and visions are going to be heard. And so I just want to emphasize the point that we're here to help you, and we're not just here, you know, asking, like he said, we're not just here asking for money or anything along those lines. We just want to share what we have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you very much. You said natural resources and environment, right? Is that your area? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. I notice one of your action items is renewable energy, and I'd just like to hear from the group or yourselves if, you know, we have started a renewable energy fund, which the next round has $100 million of, I think, 76 projects. Any thoughts you give us, what kind of grade you give us on that approach?
That was definitely an issue that got talked about a lot, and I think that everyone at the conference was really, really...
For the record, this is...
Oh, sorry, this is Kaylee Allen again, through the chair. I think that was a really important issue that we all felt very strong, most of us felt very strongly about, moving towards renewable energy. And so I think without being completely familiar with that, that was something that we would support.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And Andrea, I just a comment. You said that you may be leaders years from now. I would just suggest while you're in Juneau that you look at the demographic in the legislature and suggest that maybe shouldn't wait years. Just because many of us are quite a bit older doesn't mean that your energy wouldn't be needed within the legislature. Thanks. I suspect, too, there are others that will be following you to the microphone.
Yes, I believe the next group is Government and Global Relations.
Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you. Hey, good morning, all. For the record, my name is Ryan Gildersleeve. I'm 17 years old, and I live in the Matsu Valley. As far as economy, government, and global relations go, with the bailout going around and everything else, we felt that this was a very strong area where we needed to put our focus. And we really focused on talking about developing new infrastructure and maintaining our old infrastructure and ensuring that we have sustainable jobs throughout the community. One of the biggest action items that we came up with, one of the biggest hotspots with us, was developing youth civic engagement programs and things like COYA, not COYA in particularly, but things that get youth involved at a younger age within the government so that throughout their lifetime they're more involved and working more towards the benefit of the community. At this time, I'd like to introduce Andy Christopherson.
Hi. I'm Andrew Christopherson. I'm a delegate from Anchorage, Alaska. As you can see in the sectional report on economy and government, we have a vision, a long-term vision, several decades in the future of a more diversified state economy, with more sustainable urban and rural areas. We want to achieve that through technology. You can see specific points of what we're looking at. And I'm going to probably defer to the next group. Not much time.
Thank you. Questions for Ryan or Andrew? Seeing none, thanks.
Then at this time, I think we're going to introduce energy.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Otter Mobley. I'm from Ketchikan and Prince of Wales Island, and I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about our committee on energy. Energy was a hot topic at the conference. We had a lot of excellent debate on where we think Alaska is going with our energy policies and what we can do with our natural resources. Pretty much unanimously, we see that it's going to be very important for Alaska to stand up and be leaders globally, nationally, in the area of alternative energy. I mean, right now we are a major energy exporter, but our oil production is falling. And while we do have some light with natural gas, we need to be considering other alternatives. I'm very encouraged to hear that there is funding for alternative energy. Specifically, I think we'd like to see a portfolio built within the state that is going to allow us to not only provide alternative energy to our large-scale cities, but also to our rural communities, which are suffering significantly with increased energy costs this summer, this winter. Even with falling gas prices and oil prices, many of the Arctic villages had to purchase all of their fuel during the height when oil was at $142 a barrel. So we need better ways to mediate energy costs throughout the state. And I think that's where we'd like to see it go, if there's any questions.
Thank you. Questions for Otter? Seeing none, thanks, Otter. David, you're back at the microphone.
I am. Again, David Nicolai, back here. As Otter said, it was a very hot topic, obviously a very hot topic. It's on the forefront of not only Alaskans' mind across the state, but also across the country. How are we going to keep on having our lifestyle and move towards more sustainable, more renewable energy sources? If you take a look at some of the action items here, you can see that one of our action items is state shall State and corporate partners shall create natural gas infrastructure and pipeline to provide for export and Alaska use. There's also, one of these is coal.
Developing clean coal, I think, is also a major interest.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to see that happen. I know that Healy has, I believe, one of the first clean coal power plants going. Unfortunately, it's not operating at the moment. We need to see some attention put there to make sure that we can get, that we can use the natural resources that we already have in a responsible way to make sure that, that they're there for the maximum benefit of the people. You know, if we're going to do natural gas, let's make sure that Alaskans are taken care of with that natural gas, too.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, thank you. Otter, number one, you mentioned about the rural areas and renewables. I think our renewable energy fund, about 90% of those projects are in rural areas. And as I said, the first batch is $100 million and then $50 million the next. And we actually, on the 17th, we'll be voting on that. In addition of rural activities, some of us are pushing an initiative to get at least a greenhouse or so up to Barrow for hydroponics. And Jay Rammers has a hydroponics operation up in Fairbanks, as does up in Chena Hot Springs at Bernie Carl's. And I just have to compliment you on your mention of in-state gas, maybe only because that's one of my top priorities, the top priority, I guess, because it is so important for Alaskans, because it is taking care of Alaskans. And it's not about words, it's about deeds and making it happen. Number two, though, I just really would like to compliment you on the clean coal piece, because whether you like coal or not, we sit on a lot of it, and if we can make use of that coal in a way that's not environmentally hazardous to us, good for us. And just as a note on that, there's some innovations that potentially we can use the coal without really turning the dirt, and it's very interesting to me. But in any event, I'd just like to congratulate each of you thus far that have presented, and thanks, Otter and David.
May I comment?
David, yeah, please.
These action items are in the report. I'd also like to point out that there are some action items that are marked with several squiggly lines that were action items that were not unanimously supported by our group. And, you know, just like the state of Alaska, where there's some people who think one thing and think another thing. At our conference, there were people who thought one thing and some people who thought another thing. Oh, action items that were unanimously supported are marked by the squiggly lines. Sorry, got confused. Oh, okay. Sorry.
That's fine. Further questions? Is there another subset of?
Yep. As far as items in the report is healthy communities.
For the record, I'd like to note that you're all doing really, really well. Is this the last subgroup? Okay, we're running on schedule, so thank you very much. Please, your names for the record and begin your presentation.
Well, good morning. I am Abai Moore, and I'm from Dillingham. I'm going to talk about healthy communities. And so what I have here, I'm really a visual person, so I need my little cutout piece of paper. At Coya, we experienced a healthy community. We were a diverse group of young people who were able to work with each other to achieve something great. And you guys are holding it in your hands. We found that communication is key, and that listening to all sides is imperative to reaching positive results. And this is regardless of if we agree with everything or not. Listening is a big part of being a healthy community. And that was something that we really wanted to stress there, and that it was really important just to listen to everyone. And since some of us were from rural areas, and some of us were from like Anchorage and urban areas, and we didn't really have all of the common grounds that, you know, some that you would normally have, it was good to just open up our hearts and to at least make an attempt to relate with them.
Thanks. I'm Caroline Schultz, and my hometown is Chugiak, but I live here in Juneau now, where I work for the state.
at the conference, we discussed what makes a healthy community, and there were some disagreements, but there was a foundation that we agreed on, that a healthy community is a place where every person feels safe to live and safe to express him or herself. It's a place where strong families and healthy lifestyles are the norm. It's a place where people have access to resources like clean water and health care, and those are affordable and accessible. And it's a place where our most lucrative resource and our most available resource is our human energy, and that's what's going to make our community strong. I think it's important for us to realize that our healthy communities is the foundation, it's the bedrock, really, of our economy and of our education system and our government. And we think, all the COIA delegates, that having a healthy community is the foundation for our vision for Alaska. And we hope that you, as legislators, can help us realize that vision as we help you build the state for the future. Any questions?
No. I'm sorry, Senator Davis.
I have a question, but time is almost out. I just want to say that I'm impressed. Right from the beginning, last time, this is the second year, right, that you've done this? Mm-hmm. And so I was impressed the last time, and this time also, I'd ask you to continue to be involved and keep up with what's going on in your communities and make your voices be heard. Just glad to have you here. Wish all of you could have been here, and we had more time, but we don't. But you can continue to communicate with us from time to time.
And speaking of communicating with us time to time, we have somebody on teleconference, Fabian Phillip. Fabian, I'm sorry, but we're losing folks here because there is a 9 o'clock committee meeting, and I apologize to you. I think you just came online. If you could forward email to me or forward a letter or give my office a call, we'll make sure that we share your remarks with the other members of the committee. And before we adjourn, too, I'd just like to note that a few of the participants in the Young Alaskans Conference are now working with us in the legislature as staff people, and previous conferees are also staffing the legislature. So I would just note that they've already begun participating. As most people know, the staff is as important as the members. Oftentimes the only thing they lack is a vote, so we appreciate what they have done also. With that, any announcements before we, Senator Huggins?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, announcement. I just noticed back in the corner over there, looks like a prematurely gray young Alaskan.
Thank you. Because it's almost 9 o'clock, the meeting's adjourned.